Under the new rule, trans troops who are already in the military can continue to serve, but they can't transition to another sex unless they were diagnosed with gender dysphoria before the policy took effect, April 12th. Troops who can't comply can be discharged. As a result, advocates say trans service members and would-be recruits scrambled to meet the deadline.
There's definitely been a rush to get doctor's appointments and expedite the process of obtaining that diagnosis.
Jamie Hash is an Air Force tech sergeant who transitioned to being a woman several years ago. She speaks on behalf of trans people who serve and has counseled Air Force leaders about how best to support their trans colleagues. Hash argues that the policy has forced people to decide in a hurry whether to come out as trans and seek a diagnosis.
I think for some people, they may not have been in a situation where they were ready to start the process, but this new policy has kind of put them in a situation where they either have to obtain now or they will no longer be able to in the future.
But getting a diagnosis proved challenging for many, especially for those who were deployed. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Bree Fram is a member of SPARTA, a transgender military advocacy group.
If I had to say top two issues that the service members have faced, it's getting an appointment and seeing a doctor willing to diagnose them given the criteria that are required. Luckily, we've had a number of military medical providers go out of their way to add additional appointments or consider telemedicine for some folks that are deployed or are just having trouble getting an appointment.
Fram says many trans people who are serving don't yet have a gender dysphoria diagnosis for reasons like career uncertainty or social stigma.
Honestly, we're worried that they're going to leave the service, and they have a lot to offer, but if they need to take care of themselves, they may need to leave the service in order to do that.
Current service members aren't the only ones who were crunched by the deadline. Fram says openly transgender people trying to enlist met with a barrage of misinformation at recruiting offices, even before April 12th, when it was still okay for them to join.
So it varies wildly because recruiter by recruiter, they have different information and different information sources. So some people will talk to a recruiter and the recruiter will say, no, that the policy is we don't take trans people. And they might be basing that on a tweet or something they heard otherwise, but not the actual policy.
Some service branches have taken steps to mitigate the policy's impact, according to advocates. SPARTA says the Air Force made it easier for airmen to submit and get provisional approval for gender dysphoria diagnoses made by civilian doctors. Meanwhile, the Navy has announced that trans service members can dress as their preferred gender while off duty. Throughout the military, some troops were given leeway if they had trouble getting a gender dysphoria diagnosis from a military doctor in time. Shannon Minter is the legal director for the National Center for Lesbian Rights and a lawyer challenging the policy. He says the services don't like the Defense Department's new rule.
They don't want to ban transgender people. They recognize these are valuable colleagues. We've seen like this constant pattern of resistance of the military trying to soften the blow and protect transgender service members as much as they can, and then being constantly overridden by political leaders from the top.
A spokesman for the Air Force didn't go that far, but said, "We are in the business of taking care of airmen and commanders at all levels, and will continue to do so." This is Carson Frame reporting.